I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, off and running on a Friday morning. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. Your overnight oasis taking you up until 5 o'clock, at which time it is the warm-up show that comes your way. The number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019. Plenty to discuss, lots to get into over the course of these next 3 hours. But where we got to start is obviously yesterday, one of the prime days in the course of the NBA's regular season. And that, of course, the NBA trade deadline. The regular season, that's just something we get through. We trudge through until we get to the playoff. But the trade deadline, that's one of the banner days. And a lot of the banner names did not get moved. Giannis is still in Milwaukee. Ja Morant doesn't get traded. But the Knicks go out there and still make a move. And what it shows, what the Knicks show you, is that you can overcome a bad owner. That's the main takeaway, not just from the trade deadline, but of the last few years of Knicks basketball. And they go out and they make the move for Jose Alvarado. They bring him in. Okay, backup point guard, big-time defense. I saw he's 16th in defensive EPM. I don't even know what that means. But 16th, that's pretty good. He's just five spots behind Deuce McBride, who's going to be out likely for the rest of the regular season. He generates turnovers. He generates steals. And that's something the Knicks have kind of been middle of the pack in, middle of the pack in transition opportunities. So Leon Rose goes out there, and he gets one of those guys that a team in the playoffs is going to need. That pesky kind of defensive whiz, the guy who plays with a ton of heart and a ton of passion and a ton of grit and a ton of sweat. And the type of player that fans will grow to love in short order. If there's one description of Alvarado, when you see all these people from around the league, this is a guy who's going to become a fan favorite with the Knicks. So it's not the blockbuster move. It's not the Giannis move. But it's still an impactful move for a Knicks organization, even before you got the news about Deuce McBride. But certainly after that news, it tells you all that you need to know. And look, Leon Rose, this is the group he has put together. This is a group that even before this season began, we all knew what the bar is set at, and that is to make the NBA Finals this year. So this is the last move. And in some ways, these kind of under the radar, right? Not the blockbuster moves. Anybody can make blockbuster moves. The Knicks have had GMs who have all made blockbuster moves. But it's the smaller moves. It's about building a team, knowing yourself, self-scouting, figuring out what you're going to need to get a little further in the playoffs. And that's what this kind of move is. So for Leon Rose, credit to him, credit to the Knicks. And it's like amazing what a difference a couple of weeks makes with the team has now won 8 in a row. Things are rolling again. The excitement, is not that it ever went away, but you're starting to feel better about things, especially after the double overtime win the other night against the Nuggets. And there's still questions to be answered. But to me, the big takeaway of what the Knicks have done is that you can, Leon Rose is proof that you can overcome a bad owner. But you got to have a plan, you got to know what you're doing. And you got to be able to convince that owner sometimes to allow you to do that position, running an organization like anything else. It's got to be kind of a political position where you're able to convince people to do what you want over their own desires or wants. And Leon Rose has been able to come in and take over this Knicks organization and gotten them pointed in the right direction in a way they have not been in forever. In forever. And we spend so much time in this town when our teams aren't winning, talking about, well, you know, we can't win because it's the owner. That's the conversation with the Jets. The Jets can't win because Woody Johnson, he's just meddling too much. He's just the worst owner in the NFL. He's the worst owner in sports. But we've heard that with other owners too. We hear Hal Steinbrenner, he's just too cheap. He just doesn't spend the money. He doesn't want to win like his dad did. You can't win because he's the owner. We've heard at times John Mara's name get thrown into that. Not recently, not this offseason, but there's been plenty of times where John Mara's, oh, he's a terrible owner. He's not any good. This team, it's a disgrace what he's allowed this team to become. Even though they've won Super Bowls while he was, it doesn't matter. What have you done for me lately? We hear all the time about bad owners, and it just shows you, you can overcome bad ownership, but you have to have the right person in place. Because it was not that long ago. The rallying cry, you talked about, you had the conversation about bad owners in New York, bad owners in all of sports. The name James Dolan would be the first name mentioned. He might be the second name mentioned. He might be the third name. He might be all three. You were playing the Family Feud. Top three answers all could have been James Dolan. And you've seen how that has turned around based on the work of Leon Rose and the Knicks front office. So I credit Leon Rose. It shows you that you just have to have the right person in place. The Giant fans now think with John Harbaugh there that they've got the right person in place. Time will tell. We'll find out. Jet fans, not that hopeful with everything going on with their organization, but it just shows. And look, up until Leon Rose, and I was not a huge Leon Rose fan. I'm a big believer, like if you have a team that hasn't won in forever, don't do something nobody else would do. Like give Leon Rose his first chance to run an organization. The guy's never run an organization before, and you're going to allow him to be the guy that runs your organization? Yes, I know other agents have done that in the NBA, but I don't like when my team is the dysfunctional team and they're trying something and giving somebody a chance who's never been given a chance before. And look, Leon Rose was as connected in the NBA before getting the Knicks job as anyone, as a super agent. So if he wanted to present that case, I'm sure he had presented that case to other organizations, but he got the Knicks job. And the rest so far has been, as these are the glory days for Knicks fans. If you're not old enough to remember, you know, the Clyde Knicks and all that, you know, years ago, or even the 90s Knicks, this is your glory days, and you've earned it with the past 20 years before Leon Rose took over. So the trade deadline has come and gone, and what Leon Rose shows you is that, yes, A, you can overcome bad ownership, and B, fans don't care about anything you do as long as you win. That's the only thing that matters. The only plan is it's got to work. So the fact that Leon Rose doesn't talk to the media, the fact that he doesn't have season-ending press conferences, the fact that you never hear from him, do you hear a single Knicks fan complain about that? Of course not.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So maybe that's the way other organizations should run themselves. Don't bother talking because there's nothing you can say. You know, like when these teams have these season-ending press, like the Jets. The Jets had a season-ending press conference, and what happened? No matter what they say, It's not going to give you any answers. It's not going to make you feel any better, because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the scoreboard. Sports are more fair than anything else in life. Everything else in life is kind of subjective. Sports are not subjective. We got a scoreboard. We're keeping track. We got a standings page. We got a scoreboard. That's how things are judged. So fans don't care about how you run anything. I always gave the old thing about when Bill Belichick was winning Super Bowls. Bill Belichick could have came into press conferences flipping the double middle birds and blown raspberries into the mic, and not a single Patriot fan would give a rat's behind, because he won. So maybe that's something that other teams should look into, rather than worrying about what the fans, oh, you have to answer your, no, fans don't care. And if you're not winning, there's not going to be a reasonable explanation. Nobody's going to give you the benefit of the doubt when you've not earned the benefit of the doubt. Leon Rose has, and fans don't care as long as you win. So the other aspect of this, the fact that the Knicks didn't go out and make the big trade, and I told you the last time I was on, I think it was a week ago, the Knicks are not going to trade for Giannis. You can forget about that. And it had nothing to do with desire. It had nothing to do with the Knicks wanting to make a trade. It had nothing to do with Giannis wanting to be in New York. The Knicks clearly did not have the necessary pieces to make a trade for Giannis. If they did have the necessary pieces that Milwaukee, and again, that's what it comes down to. I know it seemed like Knicks fans, no, they have to make this trade. They have to pull the trigger. They can't pull the trigger. They don't have the bullets. It didn't come down to desire, because if it came down to desire, Giannis would already be here. It was 9 months ago. Those first reports that the Knicks had inquired with Milwaukee about a possible deal, and Milwaukee was not interested in anything the Knicks had to offer. And that would make sense. Because if you're Milwaukee, you're looking for draft picks, young players, draft swaps. The Knicks don't have any of those. They decided to go all in when they made the trades for Karl-Anthony Towns and for Mikal Bridges. When you push all the chips into the center of the table, then you don't have any more chips. That's where the chips are already in. Now, the fact that Giannis ended up not getting traded by the deadline, that at least alleviates us from that conversation. Oh, thank God, we don't have to talk about where Giannis is going. Is he going here? Is he going there? And to me, a lot of the teams that were being mentioned didn't make a whole lot of sense. Never mind the fact that Giannis is hurt right now. But the Knicks one, it didn't make sense from what the Knicks had to give to Milwaukee, because Milwaukee would not be interested in that. They're not going to be interested in Karl-Anthony Towns. I told you that Karl-Anthony Towns, his trade value, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, it's not very high. It wasn't very high when the Knicks got him. It's not going to be very high now either. So the Bucks were not going to be interested in ready-made, good NBA players right now. They're rebuilding. When Giannis leaves them, whenever that is this offseason, they are going into full rebuild mode. And they don't want ready-made. They don't want players now. They don't want Giannis to come back this season. They want to be able to tank it. Now, I don't know that they, I don't think they have their own pick, but I think it's certainly partially protected or whatever it is. But they're already looking ahead to the future without Giannis. And really, Milwaukee has screwed this up nine ways to Sunday. Like, the first, you have to be, when you're one of those smaller market teams, you have to be ahead of the curve. You can't wait to play it out. And look, part of what Milwaukee did trying to keep that window of opportunity open with Giannis to try to win a second title, I guess it made sense. And they kept pushing more and more resources and assets into the center of the table, hoping that that next piece would maybe get them back to the NBA Finals or back to a championship, and it didn't work. But they should have been on this last offseason. Once they once they get knocked out of the playoffs in the first round 3 years in a row, you have to face reality. And they didn't. And I think that they got a bit of a shock this trade period, where it was clear that Giannis was available, but they were looking for this Godfather-type offer, and it just wasn't there. So as these things kind of play out, so if you had gotten him this off, you would have had him this playoff run, next playoff run. Now, Giannis he gets more control over this because of his contract situation. So his demands, while they wouldn't have really mattered this time with the trade deadline or last offseason, the closer he becomes to becoming, you know, his contract being up, he's going to have more say in where he's going to want to go, because he's going to tell whatever teams are trading for him, well, I really don't want to go there, and I'm not going to re-sign with you, so I wouldn't trade for me. So the Bucks have absolutely screwed this up and set themselves back in the process. But in terms of where the Knicks are coming from, it's not really a surprise. And if you are a Knicks fan who is looking for Giannis to come to the Knicks, well, I think the odds went up based on the fact that he didn't get traded this year. And now you're going to be talking about in the offseason where the Knicks do start to get some of those kind of resources. They can trade their 2026 pick. I think it's on draft night. Once that's done, they'll have access, I think it's to their 2031 pick or whatever the next available pick would be. At least that's a couple of picks. Now, again, I don't think that the Knicks are going to be, you know, if the Bucks open up the market, right? They open up the shop and, all right, bring all your offers to me. I still don't think that the Knicks are going to have one of the better offers. There's plenty of teams that can make better offers than the Knicks can. And I think that the landscape will probably change based on what happens in the playoffs this year, right? Like a team that maybe gets knocked out earlier than they thought they were going to, maybe they decide, you know what, we got to go out and get another big piece like Giannis. So maybe the teams that are competing for Giannis are going to change. I think that the Knicks, unless they win a championship this year, are going to be in the Giannis sweepstakes. Whether or not they have enough to get him, that's a question for another day. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Let's get some phone calls in. We'll start off things with Jay is in the Bronx. Jay, first up on the fan.
Hey, what's up, Gordon?
Hey, Jay.
Love looking forward to when you're on.
I appreciate that.
So it's complicated with the Bucks pick. I actually think there's more of a likelihood that Giannis is going to finish his career in Milwaukee than get traded this summer because, first of all, the Bucks, they have a first-round pick. It's a swap. But that swap is with New Orleans. So there is a possibility that the Bucks get the number two pick in this year's draft. What if they were to get a number two or three draft pick with the top three that's coming out this year, go to Giannis and say, hey, you want to try to run something back? Maybe we'll have A.J. Dabisama or Cameron Boozer next to you. I want to know what you think about that because there's really no logical trade places for him with the luxury tax these days. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, look, he might want to run that, you know, if they bring in a young player, but Giannis is a win now. You know, he's 31, and it kind of feels like he's an old 31 based on the fact that his skills are all based on physicality and athleticism. And I don't know that that's necessarily going to age all that well. So I think he's kind of a win now player. So, you know, maybe the Bucks do well in the lottery and they end up being able to take that pick and trade it for some kind of veteran. I think that's more in line. But I think that the window of opportunity to win with the Bucks is kind of closed now. And I do think that he is going to be looking for somewhere else to go once this season is over. And his back and forth, like, it seems like he doesn't want to be seen as a bad guy. But, like, dude, at some point you got to make your... It's like he wants out, but he doesn't want to say he wants out. So he can still kind of make it out like, well, you know, I didn't leave Milwaukee. They decided to trade me when it's clear. And I don't really blame him. He got it. It would be different if he never won a title there. He won a title. He didn't leave immediately after that. He stuck around, tried to get the team back into the finals a second time, weren't able to do it. And now it's time, you know, he's 31. He's not going to play forever. He probably wants to go. And look, the NBA is, right or wrong, it's the league where stars win. And I think Giannis's legacy is pretty secure. But having only one title, I don't know. That's kind of, I think it kind of hurts his overall legacy. So he probably wants to go someplace, and I would almost kind of question him if he didn't want. Like, I look at Mike Trout as like, dude, don't you ever want to win? You're content just playing in Anaheim your entire career and never going to the play. Like, what's the point? The money's guaranteed. Don't you want to go someplace? Don't you want to taste that? Now, Giannis is not in that situation because he has gotten, he won an NBA Finals and all that type of stuff, but I would question Giannis's desire. How badly do you want to win if you're going to stick around in Milwaukee and kind of hope that the ping pong balls go right? And, you know, how many more years do you have? This is like the last chance you have to make a move, to go someplace and try to win another title. This is not ring chasing per se, because you've already won one in Milwaukee. But if he decides that he's going to stay in Milwaukee the rest of his career, I don't want to hear enough. The nice thing about being past the trade deadline is we don't have to hear anymore about Giannis going here or going there. He's staying in Milwaukee for at least until the summertime. And the summertime cannot get here soon enough.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.